The second reason why learning needs to become a core capability of successful business enterprises is that the world is becoming an increasingly small place. There is increasing interdependence. The world in which we live is becoming one where more and more what goes on in one part of the world affects what goes on in other parts of the world. There's a lot of talk today about global enterprises, organizations becoming more and more global in their activities. Well, whether or not your business is spanning the world or it's spanning the country, at some level it's still the same basic issue. Particularly in America and in the West in general, we're very used to turning people loose, to letting people sort of do their thing, whether it's in an entrepreneurial mode of someone starting a new business or in a bureaucratic mode where everybody's got their job to do. In some sense, the overarching climate is one of independence, each person doing their thing on their own. Somehow it's all supposed to come together. Well, in a relatively stable and business environment, it wasn't that difficult for management to design the systems where it could all come together. In a very dynamic environment, that's no longer possible. The people in the organizations themselves are going to have to learn how to make it come together as things are continually changing. So there is an interaction of sorts between growing interdependence and an increasing rate of change. The third and last fundamental driving force leading towards worldwide interest in learning organizations is becoming increasingly apparent that our traditional, authoritarian, hierarchical business organizations fail to tap the capacities of people. It wasn't too long ago I was giving a talk to a group in the South, and a man came up to me and he said, "You know, it's very interesting. As I listen to what you're saying, I really hear you saying something very simple. You're saying that for years and years, we've approached the people in our organizations as if they checked their brains at the door. And basically wanted them to do their work, not to think." And he said, "It suddenly struck me that it was really only a generation ago in my company, we called the employees hands." So this traditional notion that the top thinks and the local acts, that you check your brain at the door, or as one man in a steel company said recently, "They always hired me from the neck down," has got to change. See, the really interesting thing about learning organizations from a standpoint of what life is like within organizations is that it's people who learn, not organizations that learn, not systems that learn, not management hierarchies that learn. So in some sense, this whole revolution towards learning organizations puts the human being right into the center of the organizational equation in the way they never were in the past. The notion that people are interchangeable units is going to start to change. Knowledge and learning is always embodied in a person. So in that sense, people really do become an organization's most important asset, and not just a handful of extraordinary engineers or one or two top senior executives, but people at all levels. Now, when you start to think in these terms about a new world of enterprise in which people are somehow at the center, you begin to appreciate some of the deeper territory that has always limited the way organizations operate. We often think of organizations operating the way they do because of their systems, because of their management practices, the rules, the procedures. An individual comes to work and they're given the rule book. But the fact of the matter is that all of that was created. It didn't drop from the stars. When the business first started and people walked into and said, "Hey, let's build an office site here," there wasn't a rule book sitting on the ground. The rule book was created. So at a deeper level, we have the systems and procedures and practices we have because we created them. They are a product of the way we have thought. We thought people needed to be controlled, so we created rule books. We thought people needed to do jobs individually, so we created individual job descriptions. None of what we're talking about in this series of tapes will change until we start to develop fundamentally new ways of thinking and fundamentally new ways of interacting with one another. The central territory for bringing about the change in creating learning organizations is actually in us. It's not outside us. It has to do with how we think and how we interact. The basic disciplines of a learning organization all, in one way or another, have to do with how we think and how we interact. This is the deeper territory which creates the way organizations work on the surface. Now, these aren't just merely a set of skills to be learned. There are skills, there are tools and methods, but there's something a little bit deeper. Ultimately, none of this will happen unless we discover that it's something that really matters to us. The types of changes that lie ahead in creating learning organizations